There is a victory. There's a reality. You watched it today. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have this in you. If you are yet to receive Jesus Christ, I have great news. This is possible. This is possible. So today, man, if there's one thing, I'm just going to pray and ask God in a very few moments to guess what? To really help us get it, that there is hope in us. That the hope in us changes the world. And that Jesus Christ is an absolute reality. You know what? The world needs some hopeful people. What do you think? It really does. So let's pray that we get it today. Amen? Because what? If you are saved, that means this. You had a moment in your life where you said, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Guess what? You are connected to the hope of the world. Do you realize that? And you're going to find out some things today. Guess what? What we create is not enough to get us from here to heaven. Now, let me go over that one more time. What we create is not enough to get us from here to heaven. And we tend to get impressed with our creations, don't we? We create countries and governments and structures and institutions. And unfortunately, we even create religious protocols. But it's not enough to get us where we need to be. But I got good news today. Guess what? There is hope that is coming to the world, and it's a person. Anybody know his name? Jesus. Oh, man, say that again. His name's what? Jesus. Okay, now this is what the world needs to hear. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us when we have stepped away, and today I ask that we would step back in. I ask that we would step back in. Lord, I thank you for the people that you have created. That's every one of us. I thank you for the ones that you've brought here today. Lord, I thank you for the ones that will be saved today. I thank you for the ones that will be convinced today. And Lord, I thank you for the ones that will be brought back today. That God, your word, your truth, your hope is a reality. May we breathe that in this service today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, welcome to the first Sunday in Advent. If you have not been a part of a church that celebrates Advent, this is a part of the Christian calendar, and it's actually the first day of the year for the Christian calendar. And isn't it interesting that the very year of Christ starts out with its first element, hope? Without hope, we don't move forward. Without hope, we don't achieve. So I'm going to give you the counter that goes on. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. And we find Jesus in an interesting situation. A hopeless man has just been changed. Man covered up with demons. He was full of demons. Now you may want to argue, was this demons or was it mental illness? I'll tell you what it was. It was a mess. And this guy had become a mess. Now in this ancient primitive society, people that caused a lot of chaos, they did not try to integrate them in with people. They exiled them from the community so they wouldn't tear up the rest of the people. Pretty smart for a bunch of uneducated folks. We've tried the opposite, and you see what's happening. This is a different Sunday of hope, because guess what? You are observing what I'm fixing to tell you. We can't save ourselves. We've tried. If you would be a student of history, you'll look and see that there's different moments in human history where we try to do what only God can do, and we make a bigger mess out of it. How many of y'all found when we try to fix it, we make a bigger mess out of it? How many of y'all have ever done that? Lord have mercy. You know what? How many of y'all have ever tried to fix something, and after you fix it, it was worse than before it was broken? I have a rule on I don't fool with anything mechanical. Because it's easier and cheaper for me to call somebody to fix it. And I had a friend of mine, and he looked at me and he said, "If I will come over and help you if you promise me that you will never attempt to fix something again. Just call." I said, "I promise." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your repair has cost you more than it would have been for me to just fix it in the first place." We're kind of like that. We think there's something out there that's going to change us. This man who had demons, Jesus has delivered him of the demons. The demons went into a group of pigs. The pigs run into the water. They drown themselves, causes an economic problem, causes a society problem. They said, Jesus, we really would like for you to go back to the other side of the lake. You've caused too much trouble. You have brought the outsider in. You have hurt the economy, and we don't know where you're coming from. Leave. Don't we kind of live in a world today that wants to tell Jesus to do what? Leave. Leave, Jesus. It's amazing to me. I have friends that are atheists and agnostics, and I love to dialogue with them. And I don't know what it is about atheists and plastic nativity scenes, but it just tears them up. I don't know if they're scared of toxic chemical pollution to the environment or whatever it is, but I love laughing at their educated, illogical propositions. I said, for you all to be so brilliant, you're not real logical. I said, if you don't believe my God exists, then what's the big deal with a plastic nativity scene? It's a bunch of figurines. Why do my figurines that are mythological that you don't even believe in the first place, how can something you don't believe in offend you? And I said, why are you so tender anyway? I said, everything you think and feel offends me, but I don't mention it. I said, I live. Now I'm going to show you why. Jesus brings hope. The world offers hype. So if you want to follow the ways of the world, here's what you're going to live in. Hype. We've been hyping people for a long time, true or false. And sometimes the hype of the world just don't hold up anymore. Promises that it's going to be better. In fact, I have been absolutely inside my mind laughing at people right now when they are upset that politicians don't tell the truth. Where do you folks live? Listen, it's a miracle to me when you find one that does find the truth and tells you the truth. I'd elect somebody today if they looked at me like this. Listen, we've messed up. We spent more than we made. Every one of us has contributed. We've all messed the whole thing up. And every one of us is going to have to sacrifice to fix it. How many votes you think I'd get? One, I'd vote for myself. You know why? I told you what is real and not what you want to hear. Here's what hope does. It tells you where you are and what God can do. And here's what hype does. It tells you what you want to hear. It tells you what makes you what? Feel good. We got chaos. Watch this. I'll tell you, I know that some of you all hate facts. We don't save ourselves well, but Jesus will save us. We've spent $17 trillion. We have a $17 trillion deficit in this nation. I don't know how much a trillion is, but it's a lot more than I can think of. I remember when 100 was a big deal. Our government doesn't even know we have hundreds. They've even passed millions up. They don't even start thinking about a solution till they get in multi-billions. You know why? Hype. Because when you don't have hope, all you got is hype. True or false? My senior year, our football team, if we could play like we talked, we would have had a national championship. But all we could do is hype. We just rah-rahed. And Blake, when we hit the field, it fell apart. And this is where we become hopeless. Sometimes we buy into the world's hype, and we find out that the world's hype's a bunch of folly, and it never comes true. And you notice how people who live in hype, they always have an excuse of why it didn't work. You know why? Because they don't have any evidence that it will. Here's for instance, and I don't begrudge these things. I think it was a nice effort, but I think after it doesn't work for 40 years, eventually you become smart enough to repent and say, you know what? Let's try something new. We started the great social programs of this nation. We have more poverty today than when they started. That's a fact. Because hype won't do what hope will. 26 years ago, we had a group of people, soft. And they said, we're going to pass everybody out a trophy, and they're going to learn that everybody's important. And what we've created is a generation that has no desire to win. In a nation that was created by people that desired to win. I was at the Cumberland Gap a couple of years ago, and I thought to myself, can you imagine trying to get this generation across the Cumberland Gap? It'd take 2 barrels of antidepressants and 5 therapists to get them through the difficulty. And I thought to myself, my foremothers and forefathers, somebody stood up on that ridge and said, let's go to the other side. Well, let's see what happens when you go to the other side. When Jesus goes to the other side, there's a great crowd. So Jesus leaves the place where the man has been delivered. He goes to the other side of the sea. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Many of you have experienced a great crowd. Many of you went shopping on what we've come to call now Black Friday. I hope if you did go on Black Friday shopping, you're saved because you can lose your life over a $30 iPad that you say you're going to give your grandmother, and the only reason you're giving it to your grandmother is you know she will give it back. And so here, you know, all this crazy stuff we do, and I got to think about this Black Friday. You know, there's only one Friday that counted. See, we hype Black Friday. Did y'all see Wednesday's paper? It was that thick. It's the only paper people read once a year. And what were we all after? We're going to get a what? Bargain. Now, let's talk about this hype. How long y'all been buying this one? If you get the right amount of stuff or the right stuff, eventually one day you'll be happy. That's a lie of the baby boomer generation. Locust is what I call the baby boomer generation. They're all in their early 70s now. They have eaten everything in sight. The people that have made the decisions the last 30 years are Puff the Magic Dragon people. How have they done? Up, up, and away in my magical balloon. And they have lived a magic world. The age of Aquarius. Remember? This is the age of what? And Jack, you're part of that generation. We're going to create it, right? Grow your hair down your waist, wear your sandals, embrace nature, love Mother Nature, and everything will be wonderful. Well, guess what? 40 years experiment. How is it? Y'all hate it when I bring a facts into situations, don't you? Here's why. Hope's not hype, and hype can never be hope. Let me show you. There's a woman that ran out of gas. 12 years, she had an issue. Jesus sent a large crowd, like a Black Friday crowd, like a Titans game crowd. How many of y'all remember the Titans stadium when they didn't have enough women's restroom facilities? Had a crazy crowd. They had 2 women's restrooms for the whole stadium. There'd be women circled around 3 deep in the stadium at halftime. In a crowd, Jesus moves in the crowd. You know who was with you at Black Friday? You know who's with you in that crowd? Jesus. He's in that crowd. Jesus does cool things in crowds. You know what the difference between Jesus and us is about crowds? He sees persons. We see crowds. How many of y'all glad to know that hope is personal? Jesus gets personal. He doesn't send out one of them computer-generated greeting cards. He personally greets you. Hope, not hype. But Jesus was in this great crowd, and there came a man from the synagogue, a ruler named Jairus. And he saw Jesus, and he fell at his feet. He submitted to who Jesus was. Now, you want to find hope, first of all, you got to decide who Jesus is. How many of y'all say he's the Son of God? How many of y'all say he's the King of Kings? How many of y'all say he's the one sent by God? He's the Messiah. He is the one and the only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you get there, I want to give you some good news of hope. What he says is better than what we say. How many of y'all are that far along? So I'm going to ask y'all to get enough hope on this. Who say it? How many of y'all ever go, who say it? And so as God's people, I'm going to ask y'all to get rid of something. How many of y'all are a bunch of little Chicken Littles running around all week long? Chicken Little and everybody. Y'all remember the story Chicken Little? Yeah. You know, the sky's falling. How many of y'all are always talking about how bad the world is? Like you're surprised. And you know, oh, Lord, it's never been this bad. Really? Have you ever read any history? It's been worse and it's been better. But it's never going to be forever. I've read the book. It's not forever. but I want to give you something. God's got the final word. Sarkozy, aren't you glad that God's got the final word? Presidents don't have the final word. Kings don't have the final word. Parliaments don't have the final word. The UN doesn't have the final word. The World Council of Churches doesn't have the final word. Pope! He ain't got the final word because we keep getting new ones. See, the problem with the Pope being right with Christ is funerals. Never had one for Jesus. The only guy, the only religious leader that rented a tomb was Jesus. The rest have been entombed. Jesus got the final word. Now, let's think about this. Jairus, a man of great standing. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus was a man with great standing. Let's read on in that scripture. And what does he tell him? He is the ruler of the synagogue. He's got a problem. He said, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may live and may live well. Most of us, when we get sick, who do we turn to? You know, it's amazing to me in this universal world religions where we're trying to say that all religions are the same. And if we just morph together and hold hands in love, does that sound familiar? Up and away in my magical. We want life like we want it. You know, it's interesting. In 9/11, I didn't hear anybody yell out the name of Allah. I didn't hear anybody praying to Vishnu, the Hindu gods. I didn't hear anybody as that tower came tumbling down focusing on the Buddha enlightenment. They were, God, Jesus, save our soul. You see, at the point of death, even if you are the religious leader of the higher Jewish council with great education, depth, and insight, you realize you don't have enough to pull death off. If something draws you, by the way, I just want to let y'all know, nobody in the room's got enough to pull death off. If you don't mind, tell that to your neighbor. You can't pull it off just in case they've dozed off. Tell them you can't pull it off. You can't pull it off. Jairus goes and he said, can you help my baby? Can you help my daughter, Jesus? If you just come lay your hands on that little girl, it'll all be all right. How many of y'all got that much hope? Some of you do. How many of y'all realize this? You could share the gospel and somebody could be saved this week. Sam Wilson, you crazy linebacker. By the way, good job your whole high school, college career. Are you retired now? Welcome to retired players. Now you used to be. But guess what? You're still going to be because the hope of God's in you. How many of y'all glad to know that we're still going to be? Isn't that cool, young people? Every day you live, you're going to be what God wants you to be because he's in you. Now listen, Jairus, desperate, believing that Jesus is the answer. How many of y'all believe Jesus is the answer? Okay, well then if you do, why are you listening to so much other stuff? Some of y'all believe your 401k is going to save the day. It ain't going to be there. It's going to be a Z by the time you get there. Zero. You say, well, what am I going to do? You're going to live for Christ. The hope of God's going to move in your life. How many of y'all realize that with Christ, we're undefeated? And everything can change in a second. 1 second, everything can change. Well, guess what happens? As Jesus is heading on to take care of a little girl that's dying. There's a woman in the scene there. And look what? A great crowd followed Jesus and they enthroned him and they thronged around him. And guess what? There was a woman in the crowd that had an issue, didn't she? She had an issue of bleeding. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood and this had been going on for 12 years. She had tried all the doctors and nothing could help her. How many of y'all have ever been there? What's the scary time? This scares me more than anything. We want our doctors to what? Dr. Christ, we want you to have the what? Check me and tell me and fix me. Amen. Right? That's what we want out of our doctors. I hate it when doctors do this. First of all, I don't like when y'all start probing. Just go to the place of difficulty and take care of the situation. If I'm coming in for an eyebrow, we don't need to check anything else out, all right? But for some reason, your eyebrow's always connected to, well, something else. This is not a good deal, is it, when the doctor says, well, we don't know what it is, but we need to run some tests. That means we're going to stick you till we find something. But guess what it really means? They told me the truth. They don't know. Doctors don't know everything. Don't get mad at them. You're going to die. Now, doctors, I wish y'all quit doing this. I wish y'all quit telling people how long they got to live. Because y'all don't know. So y'all go, well, now, I've seen this before. Well, we'll put it in. You hadn't seen me with it. And who has the final word? Jesus. I remember Joe Towle, he attended church here. He had a heart attack when he was 44 years old. His cardiologist, and this was way back yonder in the late 60s, early 70s, they told Joe, you'll only live a couple years. He looked the doctor in the eye with a chew of tobacco in his mouth and said, I'll go to your funeral. And he did. Now hold on, here's why. God got the final word. Some of us live these anxiety-ridden lives because we listen to what some say instead of what Jesus has said. He's the final word. Let me tell you about this woman, man. She's wore out. Under many physicians' care, she'd spent all she had. She'd spent all she had. And nothing would change her. So she had heard about Jesus. Now look what the scripture said. She had heard the reports about Jesus. About who? Jesus. Who's this world need to hear about? Jesus. They don't need to hear about the Baptist. They don't need to hear about Methodists. They don't need to hear about Pentecostals. They don't need to hear about Catholics. They don't need to hear about our religious protocol. They don't need our bumper stickers. But let me tell you what they do need. They need to hear about our Jesus that was sent from heaven here to earth that changes everything. That guy is what? We don't talk about him. You ought to hear church people. Well, come hear our choir. Whoopity-doo. Well, come see our potluck. Great. I'm hanging out with a bunch of overweight religious people. Boy, that brings me a lot of hope. That's not what it's about. This woman had heard about Jesus. We need to start living Jesus in such a way that people will hear about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know what she believed? She came to this belief. If I touch his garment, I'll be better. So guess what she did? She got in the crowd. I don't know how she did it, but she wiggled her way to his garment. She had such faith, she touched it. And guess what the Bible says? Jesus said, power left him immediately, and the blood issues she had dried up, and she became a new woman. 1 second changed everything in her life. After last night, you ought to know that 1 second can change everything. Don't you know Nick Saban woke up this morning going, God, forgive me for yelling at the refs. Now, hold on. He was doing his thing. Hold on. There's a great. Hey, I praise the Lord. I hate it that Alabama lost, but I praise the Lord. This is a great illustration of us. Nick Saban pleaded for 1 second to win the game. And the 1 second that he requested caused his loss. Oh. How much you and I are the same. How many of y'all have ever pled hard for your own disaster? Some of y'all went through a bad marriage. Got a lot of young people in here. Listen to me, if you're dating, you just visited your family. If you're taking your dating serious, as you should be, and you're praying to the Almighty God, God uses your family to help you understand if that's a good person or not. So if you've been with your family this week and your father doesn't like him, your mother doesn't like him, your grandmother doesn't like him, your aunts and uncles don't like him, your dog barked at him and nipped at him, guess what the Lord's telling you? Now that applies, not always though. Elizabeth, your father liked me. And he's the head of the house. You got to be careful. Your mother, I've been like a fungus. I've been around her so long, I've grown on her along the years. But I mean, if you're earnestly praying, and guess what? If somebody tells you this is not a good idea, and that somebody loves you and honors God, you better listen to it. But you know what? We find ourselves hopeless because we buy into hype more than not. Most of you would rather for me to tell you what you want to hear than what God has said. Well, guess what? Here's what Jesus told her. He goes, somebody has touched my garment. The disciples went, well, Jesus, there's just a few thousand people hanging around here with you. Wonder who it was. He goes, the crowd is pressing against you. Jesus goes, somebody touched me. Jesus is quite humorous if you just read him in the scripture without making him say what you want him to. He does a lot of things we don't do, like love people that we cast out, welcome people that we won't welcome, live life in a full and abundant way when we just want to be religious. Interesting. She comes to Jesus. She's scared to death. She's fear and trembling. And she says, Lord, it was I that had touched you. And he looks at her, and I want you to hear this. Daughter, your faith has made you well. He says, you believe I am? I am. You believed correctly. Jesus is the hope. Then some came. Now, guys, I want you to hear. If you've never heard, I want you to hear this. I was very disappointed this week. I was watching a show, and it was interviewing about 30 millennials, which is about age 22 to 28, somewhere in there, that age group, or to 30. And they were all depressed. They said the American dream has died. I said, hallelujah that it has. Because we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job is not to follow the American dream. Our job is to follow God's dream in America. That's where we've had it wrong. But you know why some of y'all are kind of doubting it? Quit listening to what they say. Now, let me show you what happened here. They come. Jairus' people come. How many of y'all have ever had your people come? How many of y'all all got people? You got your peeps. How many of y'all got some friends that tell you what can't happen? You just got some of those lovely friends, no matter what idea you have, no matter what God shows you, they have a negative connotation to you. How many of y'all got any negative friends? Because if you don't, I have plenty to share. Huh? How many of y'all got some people in your life telling you how it can't happen? Now listen, I want you to hear me. We're about to close. You better get this. I'm coming down quicker than you think today. I'm going to be like Santa Claus's sleigh. Here we go. Land on the roof. How many of y'all listen to what some say instead of what Jesus said? We know we do. I don't care what Fox News says. Bill O'Reilly ain't God. MSNBC, Lord have mercy. They're lucky to just get on the air. Most illogical stuff I've ever heard in my life. And guess what? Supposed educated people sit there with these illogical incongruence and go, oh, that's right. You know why? Because they're saying what they want to hear. Now you got to be careful. Do you want hype or do you want hope? Hope comes in truth. Hype comes in false prediction.
Truth. You cannot spend more than you make and have a good life. Period. No matter who you are or what you do, eventually it crashes. It has crashed since the beginning of time. That's what Eve did. Eve spent more than she could handle. She ate a fruit she couldn't pay for. Come on. Yeah. Ain't nothing new. Nothing new. Check it out. Here they come. Well, Jairus, here's what's happened. Here comes the, what do we call it? The study committee. Doc, isn't that right? When you had a career at the university, didn't they have a study committee? They're going to study on it. At church, I remember church had a finance committee. We don't have one of those here. We just have, you need a tithe. And that's what the Bible says. See, I don't care what the finance committee says. What Jesus says. You know why people hate me? We're debt-free and they're in debt. One's hype, one's hope. One's reality and one's wishful thinking. Jairus, they said, your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. How many of y'all glad that Jesus doesn't listen to us? Jesus is the farthest thing from a Baptist church that ever existed. Jesus never one time sat down with his disciples and took a vote. This used to bother me in a church I attended. We'd vote on everything. I said, well, no wonder we can't do anything. We start with us. That's not where the scripture starts. That's a false teaching. It's not about what humans decide to do. It's about will you believe what Jesus decides to do. Because, see, we'll call something dead when it's just sleeping. Now, young people, here's what I want you to hear. You're going to hear this rhetoric rattle. I've heard it all my life, and I'm not young anymore. Man, I bet you've heard it, especially in university Christian groups. We're one generation away from the church being totally non-existent. Baloney. I've read the book. We're there in the end. Let me tell you what's not there in the end. The United States of America is not mentioned. The European Union's not mentioned. Ow! Now, I know some of y'all can go get a symbol somewhere, but let me help you. That's reaching. And the reason the dudes that wrote the little symbol thing up and made America the hero is because they wanted you to hear what you wanted to think instead of what was really there. How many of y'all realize that God can do saving the world without the United States of America? You know why we'll crumble? Nobody in this room believes it can happen. I'm just telling the truth. Time to wake up. Well, it's past time. Wake up. You're the believers. You make a difference. Listen to what Jesus got to say. Do not fear and only believe. I believe people can get saved. How many of y'all believe that? Now, here's where I'm weird. I believe anybody in the room gets saved. You say, Pastor Steve, I've been crazy. God saves crazy people. And he brings dead people to life. Amen. How many of y'all glad to know we got a God who brings dead things to life? Yeah. And watch this. You know what I'm saying? You say, well, Pat, what about when you go to the doctor? Listen, there is no doctor that can give me bad news. I mean, one day it's going to happen. It's been happening all along. I know all you young guys, you know, y'all like, man, I'm going to be like this forever. You remember that client? We used to think that, didn't we? Now we fear and believe. Because a disease has hit all of us. Furniture disease. How many of y'all men been noticing your chest dropping to your drawers? It's a furniture disease. And ain't nothing you can do to stop it. Home, we buy into the hype. How many of you women have bought something off late night cable TV that you're going to rub on your face and you're going to look 21 again? What is that? Hype. I mean, we still share. Listen, they still get away with this one. That you're going to hook up electrical probes to your abdomen and shock yourself and get a thin waist. Now, Larry has tried that. You know, it didn't work, did it? He's an engineer. Now, I know some of you all physical therapists are going to tell me, well, there is muscle contraction. I'm going to tell you what, that muscle contraction won't get over at Turkey. I can tell you that right now. But we want some easy way, and Jesus said, don't fear what? Believe. I'm going to tell you, the church is not dead. God's not over. Young people, you're not finished. God's still in the house. And when they say it's dead, it may just be sleeping. The church in America is not dead. However, she is definitely asleep. It's time to wake up. You know what Jesus did? It's so cool. He didn't listen to what they said, but he went with what he knew. He picked that little girl's hand up, and they were in the midst of the commotion. Holiday season brings on a lot of what? Commotion. How many of y'all going to see some commotion in the next 3 weeks? Would y'all do some things? Let's get some hope. If you're 5 minutes late to the Christmas party, you will not go to hell. If you don't get everybody a gift, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Give freely. Love honestly. Live fervently. And live in the hope of God.
You know what he did? He picked up that little girl's hand. He said, she's not dead. She's asleep. Get up, little girl. And guess what she did? You know why? Jesus is not hype. He is hope. And at his final word, that that is asleep comes to life, and that that is dead lives again. In fact, Jesus' hope is so radiant that you can touch a thread on his robe and be healed. Now, how can a God who has that much power have a dead church? Because his people listen to what some say instead of what he said. Y'all know what? Y'all have already been faced with it, hadn't you? How many of y'all have ever heard they? Listen, I'm going to do something that your professors hadn't done in a long time. Source credibility. It is the ancient art of research that when you research, you actually see what the person is like that's sharing you the information. How many of y'all realize that not everything on Twitter is true? How many of y'all realize this, that nothing on Topics is true? No source credibility. Topics allows all idiots to publish. Used to, we had editors. They had a job to keep editor, to keep idiots out of print. Now we have the internet that says, y'all all right. It's not what some say. It's what Jesus has said that brings you to new hope. Amen? All right. We got a mission this week. Everybody ready? Go raise hope. How many of y'all need to raise some hope this week? Come on, students. You're going to be in a line over there at the student center. People are going to be fighting for subways. They're going to be anxious getting that last paper done that has been assigned since August. And some of you all are going to be studying the next 2 weeks like it's a whole semester, because it is. And you're going to study fervently. You're going to be over at Subway. You need to be hope. You need to be the hope of God in the midst of this world. Some of you folks are going to be at Walmart. Guess what you need to be? You need to be at hope. You need to be careful over there. They might put jeans on sale for $19 and you have two 70-year-old women try to kung fu fight each other for the deal. You might need to go be the hope in that. Amen. Every Thanksgiving, I have one memory that stands out. Back in the 80s, I worked at Castor Knots, and there I was the runaround boy, the errand boy. And I never will forget, we were selling these Levi jeans, 32, 34s. I never will forget the even size. There were two women in their 70s. They were fixing to go to blows right there in front of the Levi jeans rack, because one of them had grabbed another one. And finally, I looked at these two ladies, and I said, girls, let me tell you what, if y'all will stand still and promise not to hit each other, I'll go get you each a pair of 32, 34s. I said, they're upstairs. I know exactly where they are. She goes, how you know? I said, because I set them aside, because that's the size I wear. Like I said, this was a long time ago. But I never forget it. 1995, that was the price of the jeans. And I had two ladies in there. These were respectable people. They don't attend here, but I do know where they attend. And they were fixing to go crazy over $19.95. I realized we had lost our mind at that time. That we'd turn the holidays into a get moment instead of a give moment. So let's go give the real hope to the world. Amen. Everybody cool? Did you get it today? I'm done. We've landed. Boom. But now you got to decide. Some of you today were brought here today to be saved. So I just come to my family because that's where we come on Thanksgiving. Jesus said, that's what you thought you were doing. But I have need of salvation for you. You do have a choice. You can keep listening to what they say. Are we going to fix our problems? No. That doesn't mean we're bad people. That doesn't mean we're incapable. It does mean this. We're incapable to forgive sin. That's why we have the advent of Christmas. And Jesus says, whoever confesses and repents and believes shall not what? Oh, y'all got to say it better than that. Shall not what? So if you don't mind, those of you who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been forgiven of your sin, you know what you are? You are non-perishable. If you don't mind, if you just look at your name and say, I'm non-perishable. But here's the problem. Some of y'all are perishable right now. You got an expiration date. God would like to erase that. I was telling you, I'll never have a bad report from the doctor, even though the doctor one day will probably give me a report. He said, I airs you for everything out. I hope he gives me a time limit to live, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live one more day than that just in spite of it all. Just so I can look at my last hour and go, you were wrong. What are you going to do? Die. But hold on. You see, doctor, give me a bad report, I'm checking in. Because I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. If you've not saved, been saved by the blood of the Lamb, you're checking out. How many of y'all need to have a check-in? I don't know about y'all. I'm never worried. I'm never panicked. If I have reservations for the hotel in the next city, if I'm going somewhere to stay, if I have reservations, I don't get panicked, do you? How many of y'all have ever gone somewhere without reservations? Elizabeth, you can raise your hand because I did that to you more than once. And Elizabeth would go panicked. She'd go, what if we can't find a hotel room? I said, it ain't been the first time I slept in a car. Now, and I would say, we can honestly say this, honey. Because we didn't have reservations, we have stayed in hell a couple of nights. Literally. We went to one hotel and there was a lot of people going in and out of the back of that hotel. It was open for business. And not the kind of business a preacher needs to be a part of. But guess what I didn't do? Said that I had to be all right. Be someplace to stay. Some of y'all doing with your life that way. You say, well, I'm good enough to go to heaven. But today, here's what you're going to hear. And you have heard. Hope, not hype. Why not today say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? You know what's going to come in your life? Hope. You know who's going to change you forever? Jesus. Some of you need to be baptized. Eli. How can a young man named Eli, who's a young man, how come he gets it and some of you who are 40 years old still don't get it?
Well, Pastor, you know, Eli, he just has faith.
Yeah, he gets it. Daughter, your intellect has made you whole. That's not what Jesus said. Daughter, your observation has made you whole. That's not what he said. Daughter, your political standing. That's not what he said. Your economic standing. No, he said your faith has made you well. Some of you today need to step out in faith and say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me of my sin. And guess what he'll do? He'll do it. Some of you need to say, Lord, help me quit being so anxious. Let me believe what you said. He'll do it. Some of you who are following Lord Jesus Christ, you need to follow Eli's obedient example, and you need to follow Jesus Christ in baptism. Why is baptism important? Because it's a step of faith. And here's what I have deducted in my small mind. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to worship a faithful Jesus with faithless actions, and we're confused at the results. A faithful Jesus, when he comes into his people, creates them to be, guess what, Nick? Faithful. You know what faithful people do? They bring hope in hopeless situations. They tell dead girls to get up, and they tell people who have no hope to live. And I pray that we will continue to be that kind of church. Amen. All right, what's your mission this week? We got four missions in the next four Sundays. This week we're going to live out what? So we're raising what? So if somebody asks you, they say, Brakefield, what are you doing this week? What are you going to tell them? Raising hope all week long, man. Now don't get that confused with another H word. It's hope. So Dr. Cox, as you make everybody's teeth pretty wonderful and become a healing agent, the hands of Jesus, what are you going to be doing? Not prices, just hope, right? I'm raising hope, man, as I practice dentistry. I'm raising hope as I manufacture. I'm raising hope as I go to school. I'm raising hope as I prepare for my what? Y'all have tests coming up in 2 weeks. Y'all know which ones they are? Final. That means this class will be over if you've conducted yourself in such a way that they can pass you. How come they don't give all these people that are forgiving everybody a trophy, why do we even have grades in college? Let's just quit the grades. You've paid your tuition. What you get's what you did get, and you're a lovely, wonderful person, and you ought to proceed with whatever knowledge you gathered out of that class. Same thing you're doing in athletics. Same thing you're doing in government. And guess who set the precedent? The church. We've been letting people get away with nothing for a long time. In fact, we've even called people who give nothing faithful. I think it's time to hear the truth. It's hard to discover hope with an unfaithful action. Because hope reveals the truth. And hype tells you what you want to hear. Be hopeful. Let's stand together. Pastors, as they come forward, as you all come to be baptized, you come to pray. Listen, if you're a guest here, you're no longer a guest. You've been here for a while. Some of you say, yeah, a long while. Let's ask God to save people today. Amen. Listen, followers of Jesus Christ, those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, I could care less where your membership is. Those who follow Christ, I want you to pray right now for those that don't have a relationship with Jesus, that they would respond to that. Those that hadn't been baptized, they'd step up and be obedient. You know what I'm praying for? See if anybody else is praying for this. I'm praying we see over 200 baptisms during the Advent season. Do you at least give me one in agreement to pray for that? We got to tell people this great message. I don't know any better life than following Jesus. I think I'm going to go with hope. Hype costs $17 trillion in debt. Hope costs more than that. It costs God his son. Lord, move this altar. Move people to it now. Move them to become obedient. Move them to salvation. Move them to the obedience and baptism. Move them to understand you're a God that will heal. If you've never asked Christ in your life right now, Lord Jesus, I hear. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you're praying that, come talk to us. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I hear you. I repent. I'm sorry. I believe you died. You've risen. You're real. Come into my life. Ask him. If that's too complicated, Jesus help. He'll take it from there. Maybe you've had that experience this week, last week, and it's time to be obedient to baptism. Come and let's be obedient. Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, God, I'm sorry. Look at me for a minute. Look. You can pray with your eyes open. We ought to be the people of hope. Quit joining the chaos of the world and start being the promise of the hope wherever you are. Makes sense? Jesus said, I believe it works. What do you believe? So some of you have been saved today, man. Christ is coming to your life. Let's come and celebrate that. Some of you all need to be baptized. Let's come and take care of that. Most of all, I thank God that he's with you always. Amen. Come on, church, this altar's open. What a great moment. The altar's open. People are being changed. People are being healed. People are being made new. Let's let God have his way. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church.